I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, be close to us now, in our listening, in our living out of your word. Amen. So close, yet so far. That's how life has felt lately. We can only get so close to our loved ones, so close to any sense of normalcy, so close to feeling like maybe we've hit our quarantine stride. But then something always gets in the way. A mask, a plexiglass shield, a sobering statistic, a reality check news report, a particularly gloomy day, a flare-up of depression or anxiety. Something always seems to remind us that we are indeed so far, so close, yet so far. An observation I have made over the past few months, as I have checked in with folks and as I myself have processed all that has unfolded in the midst of this global pandemic, there is a difference between being alone and being lonely. There is a difference between doing things by yourself and feeling like you're all by yourself. Perhaps that is why, of all the many profound things Jesus says in this passage in John chapter 14, I keep being drawn to one simple line in this text. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. I can hardly think of more comforting words in all of Scripture, especially now. In my children's message last week, I made the observation that sometimes when we aren't able to see all of our friends and our loved ones and our church family, and when we have to stay isolated, either by ourselves or with our immediate families in our own homes, we start to really feel alone. And not just in the physical sense, but in every aspect of our lives. I suspect it's why we're always FaceTiming and Zooming and video chatting. It's hard for us to feel close if we cannot see one another and share space. I will not leave you, Jesus says. Even if you cannot see me, I promise you will not be forgotten or abandoned. I am coming to you, Jesus says, to abide with you, to be with you. I read an article this week from the Washington Post that was talking about the toll this pandemic is having on our individual and collective mental health. The article said that a federal emergency hotline for people in emotional distress registered a more than 1,000% increase in April compared with the same time last year. Last month, roughly 20,000 people texted that hotline, run by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. In addition to the stress that people are feeling because of so many changes in their daily lives, people are carrying around mass amounts of worry and fear about jobs and financial stability, their own health and safety, and the health and safety of their loved ones. And in the midst of it all, people are feeling alone, isolated, abandoned, forgotten. And that makes everything feel so much worse. It's the perfect storm. As sobering and important as those numbers are, we, as members of the body of Christ and of a church family, have known for a long time that we aren't meant to do this life alone. We pray about it, we sing about it. It's why we come to church and share pews. Even though being physically together right now isn't safe or wise, it's still safe to say we need one another, perhaps now more than ever. We want to be a part of something. We want to be in relationship with people we know will be there for us. We want to be surrounded, even if not physically, then spiritually and prayerfully, by people who love us. We want to be thought of, cared for, supported, called, written to, uplifted, embraced, and strengthened. Even if there are those who prefer to do things alone, no one wants to be lonely. It's always remarkable to me when words of Jesus spoken to his followers thousands of years ago meet us where we are right now, even in the midst of these unimaginable times, and lead us into the unknown of tomorrow. But I suppose that since the beginning of time, in every stage and every age, humans have always needed the reminder of the same truths, that we are not alone, and that we are held together by a spirit of love. If you can rewind a bit from where we are in the liturgical order of events, we actually meet Jesus today in a continuation of where we were last week, in the midst of the Last Supper. Commentators call this bit of scripture Jesus' farewell discourse, the time in which Jesus is preparing his disciples, as best he can, for the time when he will no longer be alive and with them in the same way he has been. So picture that upper room in the midst of that Passover meal. The disciples have been fed, the feet have been washed. Jesus has told his disciples that he must go and prepare a place for them. Remember the God Hotel from last week? Jesus knows that this news will not sit too well with his beloved followers. He knows that they will be hurt, panicked, that they will wrestle with feelings of hopelessness and abandonment. They will have to battle bouts of feeling isolated, and more than likely, some depression. As I read this passage, I found it a bit easier to put myself in the disciples' shoes as they sat around that table, because it sort of feels like they might be asking the same kinds of questions we find ourselves asking now. Both blindsided with world-rocking news, having to face a new reality, not really sure what tomorrow might bring. With heads spinning, what will I do now? Where do I go? Who is going to be with me? What will life look like? What happens next? Jesus knows this isn't going to be easy for them. And Jesus doesn't just drop the bomb and run. He gives them a promise. Jesus says that he will not leave them, that though they will not see him, God will leave with them a spirit, an advocate, another one to know them and guide them and connect them, another one to care for them and watch out for them, another one who will speak the truth, and one whom they will know because he will abide in them. Jesus is saying, I'm not leaving you alone. I may feel so far, but I am so close. I am not leaving you to fend for yourselves. God will send the Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Guide, to be with you, to move in you and to work in you, to sustain you and to free you to be all that God has called you to be. That same Spirit is what I'm hanging on to these days. The Spirit that doesn't rely on in-person gatherings or large groups. The Spirit that opens our hearts, regardless of when it's safe for our local businesses to open. The Spirit that, in fact, does its best work when we cannot see with our eyes all that lovingly holds us close. The Spirit that steps right up as things get turned upside down to comfort us, to move us, to abide in us. Friends, we miss one another, and there is pain in not knowing when we'll be able to see one another or share the same space again. But just like the disciples, we do not enter into these hard times in total darkness. We are being led and guided by the light of the Spirit, and we are not alone. Our passage from John begins with the words, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And although it may sound like it at first, Jesus isn't giving us an ultimatum here. In addition to reminding us that we are not, nor will we ever be, alone, Jesus also reminds us that the very best way to stay connected is to do as he does. The very best way to feel his loving presence is to show love to others. The very best way to feel him abiding in and with us is to abide with those around us. He is saying, if you want to see the whole picture, if you want to feel the fullness of my love, then you must love one another. Inspired by Christ's teachings, powered by God's Holy Spirit, we are called to channel, to transform our fear, our loneliness, our disorientation into care and compassion and grace and love for our neighbor. One of the best pieces of advice Reverend Sue has ever given me, and she's given me a lot, is that when days feel extra hard and the darkness is closing in on the light, go visit someone. Call someone, do anything to get some perspective and to remind yourself that you aren't operating alone. I think Jesus is giving his disciples, those around that Passover table and us now, the very same advice. God works through us. Christ leads us. The Spirit opens us and connects us. I am continually in awe and humbled and moved by the ways in which you are, day after day, showing up for one another, being the witness, being the church, sharing and showing love, care, kindness, and compassion. I see it on Facebook. I hear about it when I call people to check in. I read about it in emails and in cards left at the church. I feel it when I join all of you in prayer. And when I feel it, I am quickly reminded that the Spirit is working and alive among us. In his Christian Century article, writer Andre Johnson rejoices that when the Spirit is working, God will have us doing things that we never thought we would do, worshiping in places we never thought we would worship, saying things we never thought we would say, staying connected in ways we never thought we could, reaching out in ways we never thought we would. Because when we allow the Spirit to work, loneliness and despair no longer get the spotlight. Relationships are renewed, hearts become strengthened. When we allow the Spirit to work, blessed assurance abounds. Faith is formulated, and love is lifted up. When that Spirit, the one that is promised to us, moves within and among us, what is so far feels so close. The good news for the living of this day is Christ's assurance and reassurance that he will not leave us. Then he reassured disciples who were scared about what the future might hold, what tomorrow might bring, what life would look like when they could no longer do what they had always done and could no longer have what and who made them feel comfortable and safe and grounded in this life. Today, he still reassures disciples, you and I, who are also scared about what the future might hold and what tomorrow might bring. You and I, who daily face challenges and changes, you and I, who are seeking to live in the Spirit, separated together. May Christ's promise and abiding presence be the reason why we feel less alone this day and in all the days ahead. And may we be looking for ways to allow the Spirit to move within us and among us, as we also seek to abide with one another in the midst of challenging days. So far, so very, very close. Amen.